Blog Talk Radio.
Royal family, it's Queen Akaya, that's right. The queen of the real deal, no BS talk show. Current events and what matters to us. That's right, Black Lives Matter. Real talk, kings, queens, prince, princess, take your royal places. It's showtime. Music, please.
Yes, what's going on, royal family? We're going to be taking a look at the holy birth today. I know this is not the Bible show. I know this is the real deal, no BS talk show. Yes, because I'm Queen Akaya. You know I know. But I just cannot resist passing on this information. I don't know if you guys have been working with me, studying with me, listening to the show. I'm sure you are. But anyway, we're going to do a piece on the holy birth. We're going to look at December 25th. What it is truly about. We're going to go to ancient Kemet to do the research on it. I hope that you're planning on coming with Aswar Casey 1 year in your life to start your research on ancient Kemet, which is now known as Egypt. It's already been carved in stone what our ancestors were trying to tell us. We've been so caught up into the white man's religion, I'm going to say it just like that, that we have not, that's right, we have checked into our own religious beliefs. We have not studied to find ourselves worthy. Aswar Casey has done 40 years plus and still teaching. So we're going to listen to him as we do in-depth research. We're going to look at the 25th of December, what it was really about. We're going to look at the Adam and Eve story, the holy birth. We're going to look at all of this today. As I said, I know it's not the Bible show, but it is the real deal, no BS, talk show. You know you can reach me at area code 224-531-1122. But during the show hours, you could reach me at 516-666-9889. Let us prepare ourselves to listen to the greatest man that I've found to teach us about the ancient Kemet. What happened? What did our ancestors leave for us to study? So we're going to look at the holy birth, the African story that was stolen from us. So we're going to let our people teach us the truth about it.
You have to go to your temple, to proof and validation and research, and see the temple. It says the carving from the temples of Iphitasut, Karnak is called today. Sahunapet, Orion was lord of the heavens. So here we see that this is Sahu, this is Neb, and this is Pet. So our ancestors saw Orion was lord of the heavens. They carved it on the temples. But why did they put it there? That's what we want to look at. They saw, if we go back to the scriptures, we'll bring the scriptures in the court of law.
Is it in the scriptures?
Yes, it's in the scriptures. In Amos chapter 5 verse 8, it says, seek in him that maketh the seven stars of Orion. Uh-oh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seek in him that maketh the seven stars of Orion. Well, our ancestors saw that Asar, our spiritual father, and the Zeptepi, for our spirit to go back to him, to rise up our caress, we see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in the constellation of Orion long before it was in Amos and the scriptures was even in existence. This is the Zeptepi, or the first time of creation. Our ancestors saw through the constellation, through the heavenly body, through astrotheology, through the cosmos, the first divine mother and father for them to live for eternity. A set represented Sahu, called Ceres today, and Asar represented Orion. Our spiritual mother and father that we carved on the temple. Here we see the earliest story of Asar, who had an evil brother named Seth. Many versions of the story, who got 72 conspirators to crucify him. Here we see this is long before the Cain and Abel story. You got it carved on the temple. And although you see it carved on the temples on the outside, still on the inside, they're still beautifully painted black. It's through this story of the union of Asar and Asar's resurrection, through the union of Asar and Aset, they have a holy child. It's told on the papyruses where the name paper came from. We see Tahuti, we did not worship animals. But to Hudi, the divine mentor, the messenger corresponding to Gabriel in the gospel, announces to the goddess of sex that she gives a divine immaculate conception and virgin birth. So here you have this spiritual story where Tehudi came, who was the spiritual law, said a Set would have a holy child. This is long before Gabriel, the angel of the Lord, came to the back door and told Mary that she was going to have an immaculate conception. Now, our story was more spiritual because Tehudi gave the call, and Amun came to a star and said that your wife, a Set, would have an immaculate conception. Now, I don't know about you, brother, but your wife came to you and said an angel of the Lord in the back room came and said that she had an immaculate conception. I don't know if you go for it or not. I don't know. But that's belief. On these temples, right here, Dendera, at the temple of Heru, let's go inside these temples, brothers and sisters. And going inside these temples, here we can see an ancient spiritual story where Sar, here we see he's born in a manger.
One of the things that I make sure of is that we get accounts that's not going to be revealed to tourists who come through here. That's what I try to do. Reveal the information that was normally would be passed by and not even mentioned to many of the Europeans because it would conflict with their European Western world through their own European white supremacy thinks that everything started with them or think that their whole European Christian concept started with them. This is a Torah book. It's good to pick these little books up. And it's written by the Mormons. The Mormons who write these books. The Mormons. Okay. But the Mormons are heavily into Kemet. Now, this is a chapel. This chapel is where Haru was born. In a manger. At December the 25th. Okay. Now, here's the book. Let me read it. You have the book? It's page 18. Here's the chapel right where you are. Is that the same chapel? Okay, you see where I have yellow there, right? Okay, so let me read it. This court and chapel, from a special unit within the great temple, they were used for the celebration of the day of the child in his cradle, a festival commemorating the birth of Horus, which coming as it did at the close of the Egyptian year, offered a curious resemblance to the Christian festival of Christmas. How could it be a curious resemblance when this predates European Christianity? What was the symbol of this temple right here? What zoomorphic form? The cow. Now, have you often wondered why the cow is always in the manger? This is Hathor right here with the cow's ear that looked over Haru in his birth at December the 25th. Here you see a pictorial version of their painting of the European Jesus wrapped up like the mummy that was called the Corinthine that we'll get into in the lecture series. Showing you right here, why is it a cow? No one had never asked, why is the cow in the manger? Because the cow was Heru. And when Haru was born in the manger, this was his surrogate mother, the cow. That the cow symbolically plays the surrogate mother over the European pictorial versions of the Bible that we have right here. So again, you can see where it all came from. I know this is hard for some folks, but you've come back to see it. Not one group by the thousands who come here is getting this like you're getting. Just like you, I came here and the ancestors were speaking from these temples. Relieve us from religious persecution. Relieve us from the beast of the Western world. We are here for a total different reason than other people come back here. This is why we have to walk in the spirit of Ma'at. Leave its set behind. Evil and come and see the truth. Now you see the cow head of Ru over the king horse that you see right here. That every king that was born, like horse born in this chapel right here. Put this in your own mental court of law. Let's see all the evidence. And once all the evidence is presented, we can see where European Western version of Christianity copy from this and judge it for yourself. You've heard their side of the story? Take time out and hear your ancestors' side of the story. We're not saying for you to believe it.
is like the court of law of Ma'at. Let's put it on the mosque roof. Let's put it in the witness stand of truth, justice, and righteousness on the square. And we want to hear the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And then judge it in this middle court of law. Now, the surrogate mother is Heheru. Her symbol is a cow. Why the cow? Because she represented the great Mother Earth. Now, let's look at this, because on their own Torah books right here, a closer view of that, it says this. This court and chapel formed a special unit within the great temple. They were used for the celebration of the day of the child in its cradle. A festival commemorating the birth of Horus, that we call Heru, which coming as it did at the close of Egyptian year, offers a curious resemblance to the Christian festival of Christmas. A curious resemblance. Thousands of years before that stuff, but it's a curious resemblance. Not only that, they go on to say that this small temple was called the Menmizi, or meaning the birth house, in the ancient Kemetic, or they call Egyptian. The reliefs on the wall portray the divine birth and childhood of an infant, Heru. Now here we see the rites which related to Horus, Osiris, Horus, the father, and his death. This is where we get the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost from. And this early trihood of Asar, Aset, and Heru, brothers and sisters. On these temples you see Heheru. She was a Ta-Nehisian, or what is known as a Nubian goddess that came up from the south. Why do they got Hathor, or Heheru, that our ancestors called her, over the European Jesus? See that animal worship going on in the manger? Let's go after this now. See the cow, Hathor, over the European Jesus? Our ancestors always placed Hathor over the Pharaoh to rule because he was the divine king. He was called the King of Kings, the Sa-Ra, the Son of God. Every king, or Sutton, represented that this was the surrogate mother was Hathor and her symbol was the cow. So every Sutton king was the Heru king who was protected by the Holy Mother, and her name was also Mary, meaning love that was changed to Mary. By the way, you shouldn't say love. That's white folks' term. Okay? We call it Mary, but they corrupted it into Mary. That's literally a copy off of your tombs thousands of years ago, where you see the cow was always over the Heru king, as you see the cow over the white Jesus.
Well, there's so much more for us to study, but we've done. Please do yourself a favor and check out Aswar Casey and his beautiful wife, Meryl, Miriam, so that you can check out the story of the holy birth. We're going to play a couple other pieces for this show today. Also with Aswar Casey, we're going to take a little bit of the Adam and Eve story, and then I think we're going to do one other piece, and I'm going to open up the phone line today. The phone number to call here is 516-666-9889. Please let us know your thoughts. We also open up the chat room as well, so you can chat with us live here and let me know what you're thinking of. If you're planning on going on this trip, he goes every year. That's Aswar Casey, A-S-H-R-A, last name, K-W-E-S-I. Google him, go to his wall, Know Thyself, Kemet. He has a beautiful website. You will learn so much about what your ancestors left in stone, written 5 inches, sometimes 10 inches deep, so that it couldn't be scraped away. It's amazing how our ancestors knew that somehow, some way, we would not be able to understand or be taught this information, but they left it for us. And so I'd be darned if I'm going to keep picking up a King James Version or anybody's version of a Bible, a Torah, a Quran written on paper by a white man. I'm not going for it no more. I strongly suggest you don't. You know, we talked about the holy birth. You know, the holy birth or a clean birth or immaculate conception, I think it's what it was called, means when a man and a woman, and the woman is a virgin birth, she has immaculate conception when she has a child with a man. That's the immaculate conception. It's not so hocus pocus. Spirit having a relationship with a woman and she have a baby, that is some fairy tales, folklore that we are not buying into anymore. You know, we've been waiting around for Jesus to come back, and we already here. We're here. This is it. We are the Jesus. We are the God-likes. We are the spiritual beings having human experience. We are it. There's nothing else bigger and greater than you. You know, that's a deeper concept, and I know you're not ready for that yet. If I were to ask you who you were, you would tell me you were a child of God. You would not say, I am a God and a goddess. But you will if you keep researching, you keep studying like I'm doing. You know, so we're going to get one more piece together here, and we're going to get ready for taking in some show. I promise we're going to answer some phone calls today. At least I hope we are. You know, it gets so good, I don't want to let it go. So let us turn in now to Ashraf Casey. We're going to do one other piece from him. We're 1547 into the show. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's show. I hope it's been enlightening to you.
First of all, giving thanks to the Creator, who though hidden is the source of all life, power, and health, and the gift of the Creator of our ancestors, who have already paved the way, solved all the problems that we need to solve. All we have to do, call on them, call their names, invite them to join us. They'll be here. They will be with us. They will bless our efforts. We will never fail, but if we fail to remember them and call their name, invoke their presence, nothing that we do will go correct. Ashe.
Ashe.
I really have a great honor tonight, and I broke all the speed limits to get here. Got the back of my car torn up. If you go out, you'll see. Somebody ran into the back of me. Trunk won't close and everything. I'm determined to get here because I love, admire, and respect Brother Ashraf Casey so much. Tonight, we have someone who has really perfected as much as anybody, anywhere in the world, with courage, creativity, incredible intelligence, the art and the science of visual documentation. You know, there aren't many people in the world who can do that. And so to have someone who has scoured the whole world, gone to Kemet, I don't know how many times Brother Quaid has been over there, but we run into each other, and times when I'm not there, he's still over there, going two or three times a year. He's been doing this work. Brother Quaid is one of those people who has kept time in order. He knows where he is in time and where we are. That's the kind of orientation that we have here with Brother Quaid. I heard him on Brother Askew's program the other day, and he was smoking in response to the question that were being raised, because you may go on to talk about one thing, but by the time those questions come, they're coming from all over the place. Every topic imaginable, and you got to give a credible rendering of yourself. And he was absolutely awesome. So it's a real honor, an extra special pleasure for me to have the opportunity to get back here just in time to introduce my brother, your Baba, one of the greatest Africans living, one of the greatest Africans who will continue to serve, one who will always tell us the truth. Ashraf Casey.
And that was the Grand Master, Acer Hilliard, if you didn't catch his voice. So, Baba Ashraf Casey is coming to the step podium. I hope you can check this out on YouTube as well.
Grandmaster teacher, Tajeti Acer Hilliard, I don't know what to say. He almost made me speechless. But I know I have to say something because you are here to listen and see what we have documented for you. But before I go on, I want to give recognition to our elders in the audience who walked before us, who've given their time and their struggle before us. I'm asking the permission to continue to speak. Thank you very much. Now keep in mind that we loved age when we were in our own society, our African society. I know in America we try to do everything we can to stay young. But of course, if you've been living a Maatian life in this life, and you've been telling the Makaru, as our ancestors would say, telling the truth to our brothers and sisters, then you know you have no problems about your age. you know you will have a spiritual faith in that next life. And I also want to give recognition for the brothers and sisters who made this great church the shrine of the Black Madonna. Let's give them a great big hand, brothers and sisters. To the honorable Brother Clay, who saw to it that we've got to start deifying our own babies. But we don't deify our own image. I mean, isn't that a beautiful image of the Black Madonna looking down on the first black child? I know when we walk and some people say, well, I don't want to come to that event because they're going to talk about all that black stuff. We're talking about the black stuff that was for the dawn of time. We're talking about the black stuff that came from the fallopian tube of the Nile Valley. Without that first black stuff, meaning first black man and woman, we wouldn't even have humanity on the planet Earth. Mm-hmm. So today I'm honored to come back to Atlanta to lecture to you on the Black Christ Conference. And we must give a great warrior who saw to it, Brother Pierre Carson, who called me many times and even had other conferences. Let's give him a big hand, Brother Pierre Carson, who saw, he said, Brother Tracy, the presentation that you have on Christianity, we've got to have the Black Christ Conference. Not only to talk about it, but to give visual documentation, as our Tajeti Asa Hilliard told us, that it's the Grand Master, like Dr. Joseph Nyakinen, that I heard at Long Beach State in the early 70s. Like you, I was also in the audience. I did not know a lot about African history. Of course, we were all going through the psychological gas chamber in the Eurocentric classroom. And Dr. Ben said a lot of powerful things that day, and I came up to him. I said, you said a lot of powerful things. I said, can you prove that? He said, I can take you back, and I can show you. He said, but what we need are young soldiers like you to go back and do field research. At that time, that I would travel back to Africa 14 years nonstop with that great Grandmaster Tajeti, Dr. Joseph Nyakinen. Now going on 22 years of my life, studying the reliefs, being able to see where these people literally copied, plagiarized directly from African people to make up this European version of Christianity. Yes, I'm saying a European version of Christianity because African people were Christians before white folks were Christian. In fact, we were persecuted for being Christians in Africa, in North Africa, long before the Romans were even Christians. We're going to deal with that. But also, we need to start to develop libraries in our homes. We need to study room. You don't need to see white folks that well. You don't need to see white folks that well. But after all, images shape our reality. So because we come from a visual, literate documentation, I equally have to come with that. And we are on different levels, so I try to bring this information on different levels, brothers and sisters, especially dealing with religion. I mean, dealing with religion, you can really start a whole lot of fights with religion. But what we want to do is clean house. And we want to go down deep in our spiritual subconscious because in our spiritual subconscious, white folks have created something called spiritual enslavement. What is spiritual enslavement? Spiritual enslavement is when the enemy became the deity in the spiritual subconscious of our mind. That means white folks made himself God down into the psychic of black people. So we could not see that Murray, that love for each other, because we could not see that divine creator that our ancestors knew by many names emanating from each and every one of us as black people, because the enemy became the deity in the spiritual subconscious of our mind. So, of course, I got to come with a visual documentation to show you how this took place. Now, some people ask, Brother Quasi, are you going right into the Kemetic science? No, I can't go directly into the Kemetic science. We're going to deal with the Kemetic science. But what we want to do is to deal chronologically so we can see what has taken place and deal with it step by step. What was the effect when they came into Africa? Christianity existed in the Nile Valley. Also, what happened when Europeans got a hold of Christianity? And after all, what kind of Christians did they make us when they brought us over on the good ship, Jesus, the grace of God, and the Holy Mary, the name of their slave ship, made us a totally different Christian. We want to deal with that. We want to deal with the images behind closed doors in the cellar where the Pope secretly worshiped the Black Madonna. I have the visual documentation. We're going to see it. And then we want to go deep into Kemet to show brothers and sisters that this spiritual concept existed for thousands of years. The Christ had nothing to do with a man. It had to do with the spirit that our ancestors called it in ancient times the Ka. And then when the Gnostics got it, it was called the Kohet. And during the Greco-Roman period, they turned it into the Christ. We're going to deal with what our ancestors left us. We're going to do a comparative analytical analysis because we want you to put this in your own mental court of law. We've heard white folks out of the story, is that right? What we want to do in this particular presentation on the Black Christ Conference is to see our African ancestors' side of the story. And then you put it in your own Maatian court of law. And then you judge it for yourself. I'm not here for you to believe what I say. I did not come for that. We'll keep that up to the Negro preacher, not the liberating preacher, fleecing you for all your money in the name of God. What we want you to do is to think. Because once you start thinking about what has happened, what has taken place, then you will be able to see that spiritual light through the needle's eye. It will come to you in a rays of light. That's what we want to do, brothers and sisters. Give me a little minute to fire up the presentation.
So as we give him a little few minutes to get the presentation, I hope that you're going to his wall again. It's S-A-S-H-R-A, last name, K-S-Y-K-W-E-S-I, the Introduction of African Origin of Christianity. So that's a heck of a spin. I just got turned around in my chair that we had our own spirituality of Christianity, but it was nothing like the Europeans put the spin on it. We had it long before it was named Christianity. So, you know, religion, I think, who was that gave us the first lecture? John Henry Clark, bye-bye, John Henry Clark, who's gone with the ancestors now. He gave us a hell of a story on understanding Christianity long before the Europeans came out of the Ice Age. You know, we look at this holiday season and we look at people putting Christmas trees up, not having any idea what it's all about. I had somebody send me a picture with them standing next to a Christmas tree. And I said, why would you send me a picture? You standing next to some devil, demonic force of energy, you know, not knowing that the Europeans, the only tree that would grow was that type of a tree. And they worship that tree. That's why you put the packages under the tree. And when you bend down to pick the tree, the packages from under the tree, you worship in the tree. So that's some European worship, devil, demonic stuff that you're doing and not even knowing it. You know, when are we going to wake up and stop teaching our children lies? It's unbelievable that we keep telling our children these lies and then we get so upset when they perform badly in school, when they don't do what they're supposed to do around the house, when they bald-faced lie to us. We got the nerve to get angry and upset. And we have not even bothered to teach them their true history because a lot of us don't know. You know, I've been studying this now for the last, oh, I don't know, 5 years now consistently. But I still have trouble with trying to explain every area of it because, again, I am not a guru. I have not studied this 40 years. I've only been doing it a few years. I know enough to know that I'm not going back up in them churches. I know that. I know I'm not going to worship on Sunday with those devil worshipers. I know that. I'm not going to believe in their Jesus. I know that. So at any rate, it's more spirituality for me. You know, and I'm really thankful that you're listening to today's show on this station because this is really biblical teaching, but there's some truth to this. And I thank so much for Aswar Casey to bring the Black Madonna and Child to the forefront. I love, love, love this man. I am so grateful for my nephew, Imhotep, who brought me into this knowledge when I started doing the Bible show. He was so kind when he said, Auntie, just check out Know Thyself. And once he opened that, I opened that door. Oh, my goodness, it's not being closed ever, ever, ever. Thank you so much, my prince nephew, Imhotep. I love you.
Thanks for checking out the show. You can follow Queen Akaya on Twitter or like her on Facebook at The Real Deal No BS Talk Show.